Well, welcome. My name is Eugenia Canas, and I'm coordinator for the Center for Research on Health Equity and Social Inclusion. And we're here today talking with Dr. Carrie Hand, assistant professor in the School of Occupational Therapy at Western University. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, Eugenia.
So tell us about your work and this project in particular.
So my work focuses on older adults and their ability to engage socially with others, to engage in their communities, to do the occupations and activities that are meaningful to them in their lives. And a lot of it centers around neighborhoods, aging in neighborhoods, inclusion in neighborhoods, as well as in primary care settings. Are people able to do the things they need to do and engage socially? And how can primary care help to facilitate that process? And so the project that I want to talk to you today about is a participatory action research project with a group of older adults who live in a seniors apartment building in London. And this project is funded generously by the Retired Teachers of Ontario Foundation, and they're a group that are interested in addressing and alleviating social isolation in older adults and building social connectedness in that group as well.
That sounds very interesting. Tell us about this approach.
Yeah, it's a different approach than typical research, participatory action research. So it means the participatory part is that people are actively engaging in the process. It's people that are involved in research, and it's the people that are most affected by the issue under study that are involved in that research process. The aim is to have real equitable collaborations between researchers and the people who are being researched, except in this instance, they're not being researched, they're acting as co-researchers in the project. And so that's a little bit different from typical research, just because typically you'd have a researcher dreaming up a project and recruiting participants to gather data from and then moving on from there. Whereas in this project, we're really trying to build a project where we're all co-researching together.
So it sounds like a lot of differences from the beginning throughout the process itself. And what are some of the principles that you apply?
So some of the main principles are, as I mentioned, collaborative, equitable partnerships in all phases of the research. So from question generation to data collection, analysis, dissemination, and knowledge translation. It's meant to be an empowering process. So helping participants to grab and increase their sense of control and involvement in their lives. There's a lot of co-learning that happens among all parties. And so as researchers, we're learning about the people that we're working with, and they're learning about us and about the project and about this way of doing research, and all different types of learning is taking place. It requires an openness to new ideas, letting go of some preconceptions, and we've already experienced some of that as researchers. Those are the main principles that we're focusing on right now. This is the early stages of a participatory project, but other things would include capacity building, research and action, not just research, and sustainability, long-term involvement.
What does that look like? What does it look like in a research environment or in a process?
So it's been really interesting for me and my team as researchers and community members. My team is researchers from Western University, as well as partners from the community, from different community organizations, and then a group of older adults who live in a seniors apartment building. And so what it looks like is that we're working together for people to feel more connected, as I mentioned. And we started off just talking about our approach. You know, the people that we talked with, or the residents at the building, weren't really familiar with this type of research. They were more familiar with traditional forms like surveys and interviews and that kind of thing. And so from the get-go and until now, we've just been talking about and reinforcing the idea that we all are in a partnership here, and we all would bring different skills. Of course, I would have more research expertise than most of the residents in the building, but we all have something that we can bring. And so trying to set up a way for voices to be heard, for people to contribute in the ways that they feel that they can contribute and that they want to contribute, helping people to build skills. And I realize as I'm speaking that this is a lot of generalities, right? I'm not really getting down into what does this look like on the ground. So maybe I can give you an example.
Sure.
As we worked along with the residents in the building, we were saying, okay, so this is going to be a partnership. We hope that we can all be co-researchers in this together. And then the questions would still come, oh, what's the next step? What's the next step that we do? What's this process going to look like? And really all that we could say as the team of researchers was, we're going to do that together. We'll make these decisions together. It could look like X, it could look like Y, but we'll have to decide that together. One thing that we have decided to do as a group is to gather more information about all the building residents. So currently we meet with a number of residents, but that doesn't represent everyone. So we developed a survey and we distributed it to the different residents in the building and got back some findings about what people would like to see different in the building, where they're at right now in terms of how connected they feel, those sorts of things.
So it sounds like in a way this is surprising for them as well.
Absolutely. It's a new process for them. I think that they're learning for sure. No one's come out and said so, and we haven't asked specifically, but over time they've looked to us less for direction. People volunteer to do different things when we're talking about, oh, well, we're going to do a survey, so we're going to need to do, you know, get it prepared, distribute copies to different residents, and so we're figuring out who can do what, and people are volunteering for those sorts of things.
Is that what you mean by capacity building? Is that that aspect as well?
I think partly. It could be capacity building, or it could just be drawing on the existing strengths of the people in the building. So that's, I guess, another part of this participatory action research process, which is people bring a lot to the table, and you don't necessarily know what's there unless you ask them, especially for people that are older and maybe aren't working. You don't have that label to put upon them like, oh, an accountant, so they're probably good with math, for instance.
Right. So you mentioned before that you have an older adult population. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that. What's your age range, and what are some of the joys and challenges of working with them?
Well, it's interesting. In this particular building, people can live there if they're age 50 or more. So it's a bit of a range of the different people in the building. So some people are still working full time and they're not retired. Mm-hmm. Some people maybe are in their 80s and they've been retired for a while and they're enjoying coffee time with other residents and that sort of thing. So it's a bit of a mix. There's some different languages besides English spoken in the building as well, and a bit of a range of backgrounds, I think. It seems to me, I don't know all the details, but I think there's people who maybe had professional lives, working lives, and people who did not. So it's just a mixed bag, as you'd see in any community setting. You know, if you're going to find any community, you might see a range of different sorts of people there. Not everybody's the same.
What are you enjoying about this process as a researcher?
I'm really enjoying the learning that I'm doing. So I've been involved in other participatory projects before, where I wasn't the lead. I was more observing and engaging. And so now I feel more pressure, I guess, to do this right. And I also am realizing that there's not necessarily a quote-unquote right way of doing it. And that's actually one thing that I'm learning, is that it's really hard to know exactly what this type of research is without doing it. And so you can read the books and articles and hear from people about it, but it was really just by jumping in that we as researchers and community partners and residents of the apartment building are learning what this really looks like and how we can enact it. And so that's really exciting to me, to kind of all learn together and to make some gains together in terms of the project aims.
That sounds wonderful, actually. Mm-hmm. It speaks to me of a fairly organic iterative process. Mm-hmm. How does that play out when you go back to academia, and how is there a tension or a contrast between how something can be so fluid and organic in community, mm-hmm. and maybe there are different expectations or different conventions in an academic setting?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's working well. It's probably more time consuming to do this kind of research because I'm engaging in a lot more meetings than I would on my other projects. Mm-hmm. But there's still lots to be learned. You know, there'll be the traditional sorts of academic outputs coming out of this project, like papers and presentations. There'll also be opportunities for other ways of sharing information amongst the residents themselves, with other buildings that might be interested in this sort of process. So it's all good. One sort of, I don't want to call it a clash, but issue that we faced was in terms of research ethics. And so for every project that the university is involved in, or that people from the university are involved in, we need to get research ethics. And some boards just aren't really familiar with participatory research, and that was true of the board that I was working with at Western. And we talked with them about whether we needed to have people consent to even participate in project meetings. So the backbone of the project is really monthly, or maybe more frequently, sometimes less frequently, meetings where we talk and discuss and make plans. And so the question is, does that constitute research? Is that something where we need to worry about protecting people's privacy and keeping information confidential and making sure people know what they're getting into by signing a letter of information and consent? And so initially, our university thought that maybe people should sign a letter of information and consent at every meeting. We'd get the paperwork out at the beginning of every meeting, and we'd all sign our you know, consent to have information shared in this way, in future presentations, for instance. But we really didn't want to do that. We thought that that would position the apartment building residents at a really in a position that really wasn't collaborative and equitable. They wouldn't really be positioned as researchers. We weren't asking other researchers to sign a consent form, and we would be asking the apartment building residents to do that. And so we spoke more with the Research Ethics Board just about how we're really trying to position the residents as co-researchers that wouldn't necessarily need to sign a consent form. And we did come around to an agreement about that, and they said, actually, we're understanding better what participatory research is about, and that all makes a lot of sense. And so we didn't do that initially. As time went on, we thought more about how we were going to share the information from these meetings. And so we certainly would want to share it, say, in local venues at different meetings, or say with the city, or, you know, who knows if the local health integration network would want to get involved and put funding towards this sort of a project. And so we'd want to be able to share it in that way, as well as in academic publications, which are important to me as an academic. That's kind of my bread and butter in terms of keeping my job and progressing to different positions. And so by that point, this was a few months after starting the project, we felt we had built some trust with the residents, and they were understanding what it meant to be in a collaborative partnership. And at that point, it felt like introducing the idea of a consent form to share information that we're talking about now in future venues felt okay to everyone involved. It felt okay to me as a researcher. I didn't feel like it would really disadvantage the residents in the apartment building, the co-researchers. And I feel like we were able to explain the idea that this is more for their permission to share information in other venues, and people were free to choose yes or no. Some people signed and some people didn't sign. And so that's been an interesting process where we had to negotiate with the university to get their support, or to access the support that we need from them to move forward.
That's fascinating. And you mentioned earlier that this kind of process takes more time, and you can see even in these examples, the level of intentionality and attention to the timing of when you do things, why you do things, and how that affects the dynamic. So it also sounds like you're being very mindful of the power dynamic between researchers, so-called researchers, and so-called residents, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Can you talk a little bit about that? What does that look like in other ways?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. One other aspect of power, I guess, that's present in the building is that this would be true of any community. There's some people that engage and some people that don't engage. And so My team of researchers and community partners, we're all engaging and inviting the residents to do that with us. And so not everybody comes. It's a large building. We probably wouldn't even be able to make enough room for everyone to attend. But it's speaking to me a little bit about who has... feels comfortable coming and engaging, who doesn't feel comfortable. We don't really know any of the reasons why people aren't coming. You know, there's probably a multitude of reasons why people don't engage in a project like this. And so that places a little bit more power in the hands of the people who are coming and engaging in the project, because they're making some decisions about what happens in the building. And it's not that we're actively excluding anyone, but it's another thing that I've been tending to, and we've had conversations about, well, how do we bring more people into this? And if they're interested, of course. So We've had some change in the membership of who's attending the meetings over time, and people are free to come in and out, attend meetings as they want. It's not set up in any sort of structured way. So that's something that we're attending to and trying to work towards the ideal of having anyone that wants to engage able to engage. And the truth is that we don't actually know if there's barriers, or we know of some barriers, I guess, but we don't know of all the different reasons why people might not come. It could be preference, but it could be something else.
So in a sense, you are being very person-centered. You're trying to anticipate what would be supportive or what would eliminate barriers. But at the same time, it's outside your control.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's an interesting thing to go through as a lead of a project. You know, obviously you don't control all the aspects of any project, but there's a lot of different variables that you just let go of, and you do what you can and you try to enact the principles that you think are important in this type of research, but you can't control everything.
Carrie, it sounds like very rewarding work. What is it like for you personally to do it?
Personally, I think about this project a lot, actually. I think about it more than my other ones, I think. I'm really getting to know the people that we're engaging with as co-researchers and as apartment building residents. And so I'm getting to know them as people in a way that I wouldn't necessarily get to know in my other studies. If I did a survey, for instance, I certainly wouldn't know them. And if I did a qualitative study that involved interviews, for instance, I might know a few of them, but I might not know all of them because someone else would be doing the interviews.
That's right. So
that's a really nice thing. It's great to be involved this way in the community. I think this is a really great thing to engage community members in research like this and to find out what's important to them and to help them address it. So that's just really rewarding to me as a person.
It sounds very rewarding. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm wondering what I haven't asked you, what questions I should have asked you, or what key messages you want to share with us in addition.
That's an interesting question, thinking about what else is happening in this project. And I mentioned at the beginning of the interview that participatory action research is about people participating and engaging, and it's about action and it's about research. And so there's meant to be a real balance between the research part, which is more information gathering and trying to understand an issue, and the action part, where it's getting things done, making changes that can actually impact people. And so it was interesting in this project, I went in thinking that we would try to understand what was going on in the building first, maybe through a variety of methods, maybe discussion, maybe a survey, maybe we do focus groups, who knew? And so we talked about the process, the potential process with the apartment building residents, and it turned out that they wanted to jump right to action, actually. And so they wanted...
Oh, that's fantastic.
They wanted to do. They were interested in figuring things out a little bit, but they already knew some things that were going on in their building, and they knew what to do about it. And so one thing was that they wanted to do more, have more music in the building. So, like, sing songs in the evening, for instance, and they didn't need to do a survey to figure that much out. Like, it was pretty clear from the get-go. So one of them managed to find a piano and have it brought to the building. And we've found and sourced some books of music that and lyrics that people can use to go with one of the residents who plays the piano. And so that's been happening already. So that's really been interesting. And they were... The research part came a little bit later when we did do a survey, as I mentioned, and found out some interesting things from the residents. The other way that we've been gathering information and doing a form of research, I guess, is just through our dialogue in all these ongoing meetings. And so that's been really interesting. But I think for this group, the focus has really been on action.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's been actually wonderful because... even though I thought that we were going to go and try to understand things more, it's really great. It's really engaging for everyone, I think, researchers, community members, co-research, everyone, to get something done, to see some benefit, to get to try something and to see it happen. And so that's been really nice.
So there has been more music in the building.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
People get together and they sing.
That's right. Yep.
I love
Absolutely.
That. I love that they knew already. And you, with PAR, you often hear this phrase of, you know, people are experts of their own experience, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And I think it really played out in this case.
Yeah. One other thing that I can mention, actually, about the approach and what I'm learning through this project is that it's important to come at a topic from the same perspective as the people that are dealing with that issue. So in this project, we're hoping to enhance social connectedness, sense of community, those sorts of concepts, and everyone will have a different idea of what that means, every individual person would. And so as we've been talking about this topic, the idea has come forward in the group just through our dialogue and through our discussions that it seems that this group really connects with the idea of social connectedness through doing, through engaging in meaningful occupations. I use the word occupations because of my background as an occupational therapist, but these are just activities that are meaningful that people do, that they enjoy, that helps them connect with others. And that's how this group seems to understand sense of connections, creating a welcoming environment. It's doing things like potluck dinners that they already had ongoing, or coffee time, or music, or barbecues. We're talking about getting some new outdoor furniture and patio furniture so they can congregate and have barbecues. And so these are all the sorts of things that they're interested in and the ways that they're connecting with one another through these activities and occupations. And so that's really interesting to me as a researcher, just to find out more about how they as a group are conceptualizing these ideas. It's not some dry, you know, definition. Oh, social connectedness means you have a number of people that you can call on for help and that you can share your deepest thoughts with. It's for them about doing things collectively, engaging together.
Sounds a lot more embodied, a lot more about place and time. Did this surprise you? Did this change your own definitions of social connectedness as an individual?
It's funny. It didn't, actually, because this is it really resonates with me, I should say, connecting with others by doing together. But I don't know why I didn't think that they would have that same perspective. I guess I just went in not knowing. And they seem to relate to that concept in a way that I can relate to, too. So that's been something that has enhanced our work, I think.
Yeah, that sounds really nice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Carrie, this has been a real pleasure. I really hope that as your research progresses, you come back and share more with us. And my best wishes. Sounds like a wonderful experience.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for talking.